right, open it up, Chad. Let's do this. And stop eating. I can hear everything.
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
That's why I'm late, obviously.
Well, let's talk about what are you eating? Or should you take a bite and Jamie and I guess?
Fish. He's eating that fish.
Fish.
Quint? It sounds like I'm going.
Spanish sisters on the sea.
Do you think, like, I'm just curious, like, do you think in the script it had that, or as his character, he was like, I'm going to be an old timey fisherman. Like, I'm obviously going to have like older songs like this, and just started doing this and they recorded.
I think Robert Shaw was actually hammered and just started singing sea shanties.
Well, yeah, that's what I
want to believe.
That's what I've read about
was,
with that.
Was it all bad? Was it 103?
Well, when I was doing the research, it said like during his the USS Indianapolis take, like he said, like, hey, they recorded it several times and none of it was usable, and because he was so smashed, and like he like called Spielberg later that night and was like either apologized or whatever, and was like, give me one more shot at this tomorrow, and then just nailed it on take one. So, and that's the take they used, I guess, in the movie.
Yeah, and also, like, man, of all the places in the world to get smashed, like on a boat,
Martha's Vineyard. Oh, well, that's the next thing is like, yeah, they're like, I mean, yeah, they said that I think they filmed the cool part about Martha's Vineyard Martha's Vineyard was that they could go, you know, 15 miles out or something like that, and it was still 30 feet to the bottom, and that was great because then they could use the shark and the equipment they needed to. So, like, I'm sure he felt generally safe, but also, yeah, being out there filming on a boat that's actively being flooded, like, that seems so dangerous, and also with all the pyrotechnics, too.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that... Or I'm surprised that no one was like electrocuted on set or something, but.
Oh, for sure. Or smoked out, just like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I know. And like Martha, I was watching this. I think I share this, but once I started watching it, I started seeing like the buildings, like the architecture, and just how the beaches looked. And I was like, I got to look this up. This looks like Cape Cod. You know, I was like, oh, Martha's Vineyard. Like, on my trips out to Cape Cod recently, I haven't been to Martha's Vineyard, but the way they code most of their buildings there, like, everything still looks like that today. Like, a lot of parts of that whole area that you drive through, like, it still looks like that, which is, it's awesome. It's beautiful. But, and welcome to Movie Time Machine, your retro movie review and pop culture podcast. We're talking about movies from the past. We live them in the present. Joining me this week, we have the Dapper and the 11 Encyclopedia of Movie Knowledge and NES Cart Collector, James, and the host of the Midwest Mountain Sports Report, Jamie. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. I gotta say, I didn't realize there was a Jaws NES game. There was, and I did not own it. I am actively looking to see if I could purchase it. Well, in my head I am. I don't know if it's going to be really worth it unless it's like $5 and free shipping.
Yeah, you just got to hope it's not one of those super collectible, expensive games. And also, the Sharks are a hockey team. That's me contributing from the sports world.
Are they still the San Jose Sharks, or have they moved? Okay, I remember that was like
Saint Martin.
I feel like that was the cool starter jacket to have.
Yeah, Sharks, and who else came out the same time as Sharks? Was it the Ducks, the Mighty Ducks?
Oh yeah, then definitely not named after the Disney movie, but absolutely were Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, because didn't Bob, was it Eisner at the time, they owned the Ducks? I think.
Oh, I'd have to go back.
That's why I think I remember the announcement. He announced the team name and everyone was kind of like, what?
Oh, no. Quack, 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 Mr. Eisner.
So they had like, yeah, their first season or two, they had that same jersey logo, was like the duck logo from the Mighty Ducks.
I remember that's that. When you made the comment of like, and it's not related, and kind of joking about it, I was like, wait, they are They had to have been, right? Because it was the exact same thing. Even if I remember right, didn't even it change to like when the Mighty Duck, like Disney cartoon came out, like with like the mean looking hockey mask duck face? Didn't that show up like on a jersey at some point? I might be making that up.
Yeah, the original run, I think.
The D2 jerseys are for sure. That was their old logo. And then it got really awkward when the head coach of the NHL team started also dating Charlie's mom. There was some awkward conversations there.
God. Oh boy.
You can get
Jaws, it looks like, as low as $12.
I mean, I was doing that too, Chad.
Oh, that's awesome.
Looking on eBay.
Thanks for doing the research for me, guys. I will take that under advisement. Did anybody watch the new Mighty Ducks Disney TV show? And what cameos were involved? Like, did Joshua Jackson show up as Charlie?
It was fine. I mean, fun for the kids. You get Averman. You get, oh, shoot. Is Julie the Cat in there? Maybe. And then you get Kenny Wu, and you get Fulton Reed, if I remember right.
I just remember in the previews, Lorelai Gilmore is like one of the head people in there for like probably one of the moms, and that's what made me want to watch it because I'm a huge fan of her.
Yeah,
here's the thing though, fine. That like series is gone.
Oh, it's really? They're not making new seasons?
No, they removed it from Disney Plus. There's no way to watch it. Unless you maybe ask what? Casey.
What? Yeah.
That's
why
Disney used it as part of their for tax write offs. You know, like all the streaming services started doing this thing where they just completely remove a show from their streaming service, and they use it as a tax write off. And I think part of doing that tax write off, then they can no longer put it on their streaming service. I don't know if that includes like maybe one day eventually goes to DVD, but I think it's dead. Same with like the Willow series. That's gone.
That's off Disney dead. Plus too?
Yeah.
Wait, but that had like, my mind is blown right now because they only had one season of that with the idea of, unless it didn't do well, but it was going to be a trilogy of, at least three seasons because the way they ended the show, it showed
dust
like
in the
three
wind.
Books. Hold on now. So is this the new way of putting it in the Disney vault, so to speak, or it's just gone? That's crazy to me.
It's gone. I have to look up. They did because, you know, Disney's been losing a lot of money with that streaming service or all streaming mm-hmm. services, which, again, I think is a good conversation, good future topic. But yeah, they just did it. I feel like it was like at the beginning of summer. It was around the same time, too, where like HBO Max did like the change to Max. And they dropped a lot of programming. There was like a really cool show on Max that I liked. It was like an animated series called Infinity Train, which I think that's gone. I don't think there's a way to get it unless probably like a random like YouTube channel.
Have they done a, I don't know how you would do this with like being objective, but have they done a documentary about streaming services and how like all the impact, like just like the things you're talking about right now, like that could be a 15 minute segment about how they did these tax write-offs for different shows and all this stuff. Like, I don't know. I feel like it could be a really interesting topic to do a documentary about.
I bet there's one. I bet somebody on YouTube has done it already.
Yeah. That'd be a good Casey question. Also, can we just be reminded that Coach Bombay had to coach the Ducks because he got a DUI? It's just always crazy to me whenever I watch Mighty Ducks.
And shows up first thing in the practice and is driving on the ice in the limo. Like, maybe not the first move for your service for a DUI, Coach.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
All right, should we? I know Jamie has a hard out at one, so let's just dive right into the topic of the week.
I wanted to hold everything back when you had that long pause about Jamie having a hard, and I was like, don't do it, James. It's just too easy of a tee up. Oh.
And I was like, right, a big fat meatball over the plate.
Oh my God. All right, let's dive in though. I'm excited.
All right, so Jaws. I feel like it's been a while since we've like picked an old movie and gone back and watch it, right? So
for sure. Going I mean, in, let's talk about How many times has anybody seen this?
This is my second. I think this is the first time that I've actually seen like the full theatrical version. Because I think I've only seen it before, like on network TV.
Did we all watch it on Tubi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tubi?
I like Tubi. Tubi. Yeah. I feel like you could brand that a lot easier.
This is also, Chad, this is also my second viewing of the movie. And so, like, again, I didn't remember all of it very well. So I was excited that I was actively keeping my interest the whole time. I wasn't like trying to do things around this. And also the first time I watched this, I want to say was within the last 5 or 10 years, but that's not to say I didn't own a Jaws movie poster, on my wall in high school, because Dawson Leary and Dawson's Creek definitely had a Jaws poster on his wall. So I had to have it. But as far as all the Spielberg movies, that is one that just never piqued my interest for a very long time until I was like, I should probably get into this.
What about you, Jamie?
Yeah, it's one of those movies. I also saw it recently, like 2, maybe 3 years ago. So it was near enough in my mind that I remembered like, yeah, this is an awesome movie. Never mind how old it is. It's still great. But it's always just there. Like you said, James, the poster's iconic. It shows up all the time. I'm a sucker for like scariest movie moments lists or lists of everyone's scariest movies. Jaws is always there. And I also, you forget it's directed by Spielberg. Like he has those 70s movies like Close Encounters, Jaws, Duel that you forget he directed because he had so many eras. And yeah, I loved it. It still works, which is incredible. And I can't wait to talk more about Amity Island and the weirdness of just everything that happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't expecting, you know, anytime I go back and watch a movie that's from like the late 70s, and especially with us come out in 78 or 79, I think it came out the same year as Alien. What's that?
75.
Yeah. 75?
Yeah, 75. Really? Yeah. Nuts. And it was filmed, it was supposed to come out Christmas of that's what's even more wild to me. It was supposed to come out Christmas of 74 because summer movies didn't do well. So they wanted to do it over Christmas when it was cold outside. People were going into the movies more because people wanted to spend time outside, go see national parks, go to the beaches. Welcome to 1974 America. And then 75 happened, summer release because the shooting went long, and boom, summer blockbuster.
Yeah, well, so even more impressive, right? So anytime you go back and watch older films, especially from this era, sometimes there's always something about like the sound effects, something in there that just sounds like, you know, that just makes the film feel really aged. And I don't know, I was surprised. I think I actually watched like the first 15 minutes, I had to stop. And then when I hopped back in, the rest of the movie went by really quick. I remember towards the end, when, like in the scene when they're on the boat, I was thinking, man, how much goes on here? Like, I feel like we just got out here, and I was like, oh, there's like 15 minutes left or 20 minutes left. This is crazy. Yeah. That's great. I don't know. Again, we get like John Williams doing the score. You have like the iconic, you know, Jaws theme. Which is, you know, I guess for me too, it's like you got Jaws theme, and it just has that same kind of like tiny ingredients of John Williams that you get when you hear like E.T. score, or the score from Star Wars, or even Harry Potter and like Jurassic Park. I don't know, so when I get those moments, it just kind of gives me goosebumps, you know.
For sure. When I hear Spielberg that. Spielberg said that the score is what made the movie so popular, or not. I mean, obviously there's a lot of things that made it popular, but it wouldn't be the movie it was without his score. And initially, yeah, I guess when he said John Williams presented the Jaws theme to him, he like laughed at him and goes, this is what we want to do. Like, and then after the movie was done, he apologized and was like, no, this couldn't have been done. Like Jaws would not have the same effect without how you did the score. But Chad, you're not wrong. After the Jaws like initial theme itself and the other themes in the movie, like it's so John Williams. Like even on the boat themes, it's like super kind of pirate like hook like themes and stuff. So
yeah, and then there's like the parts where they attach like the barrels, you know,
yeah,
to the shark, and then it, like, yeah, swims away. Then it's kind of like this, like, whimsy kind of like fantasy kind of like vibe to it, or it kind of feels like a little Indiana Jones-ish, you know? And I don't know, just the range of it, I loved it. And then talking about the score too, and then I'll let you guys talk a little bit more, but there are parts, again, when talking about watching older films, especially like going back, I feel like past, like, once you get past like 1980, it starts to get a little, I don't know, where the score really hits. Because I feel like sometimes in older films, you have moments. I was just thinking about when Dreyfus's character gets in the scuba gear, you know, and he's down swimming towards like the boat, and he like sees like the shark tooth and everything. That whole moment of him just swimming up the boat, I was like, I was paying attention to the score too, as like, oh, like there's so much of this movie that has music like part of the background that's continuously playing, and it's like, this is awesome. There's, because what I'm trying to get to is like a lot of these older films have like these large breaks and moments where there isn't anything. You might have gotten, somebody else would have just probably had a scene where there's just somebody swimming in the water, like, sure, very little. I mean, maybe some kind of like bad, like bubbling and breathing sound effects, but the score just really kind of like built that tension. And like John Williams was great for that, but you get lots of that throughout this movie, where the like the animatronics of the shark, I think just by themselves probably wouldn't work as well if you didn't have such an awesome score to back it up.
For sure. John Williams did win best score that year at the Oscars, which is awesome, and has stated like that's what put him on the map to do all the rest of what he was doing. Also, it helped that this is that era when like Spielberg, Lucas, and Marty Scorsese, I know Scorsese hasn't really used John Williams, but like that's when they all grew up like at the same time together, like pitching ideas off each other. So I'm sure after Jaws, like that's when, you know, Lucas is like, yeah, let's do my movies. And Chad, to your also point about like his scoring in like in little details, like whether it's the barrels or they're fishing in boats. That's what I love most about John Williams, is he adds music to any scene and adds emotion to any scene. And that's why I think it's so powerful. And when you go back further than 75, I agree with you. Like it gets like some movies, like it's, there's probably only a handful of movies each year in when you backdate past that are like, hey, these are, I don't know, not necessarily quality movies, but movies that I actively would like to watch. And I think a big part of that is like the only person I can think of or composer, like, so Bernard Herrmann, who does most of Hitchcock's movies, he was another person who like did like intense scoring, like in, you know, Psycho, North by Northwest, Vertigo, like, and did those themes and did like music in those other scenes that, like, again, like those scenes are not as powerful without the music in the background. Like you aren't tensed up without it. You aren't feeling like as much joy and getting the idea of what they're trying to show us. Like, so in Jaws, when they are just going out to sea for the first time, and like, yeah, sure, the boat's going out, no big deal. You don't have to feel much of anything, but with the score in the background, you are feeling like, you know what you're supposed to be feeling, like, okay, they're going on an adventure. You know what I mean? So just amazing.
Jamie, what do you got? I'm sure you got some deep literary thoughts to share with us.
I got the first funny literary thing I noticed is if you just look at Wikipedia, when you open Jaws the movie, click on Peter Benchley's novel. The book jacket is like a dulled version of the movie poster. Like you see the shark, but its nose is kind of rounded. There's no teeth. So it's just really funny how they took the book jacket, put it on the movie poster, and like made it actually scary and badass.
Wait, so was the book actually called Jaws?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Yeah. It was called Jaws. And I think, so first coming at it from horror, cause I like the horror. What I noticed is obviously this movie's iconic with the POV shots of the shark. And as a horror fan, you think that starts in like the 70s, end of 70s with Michael Myers and Halloween, but it's actually earlier. It's with this. And I think it might even be earlier. I can think of one other film. It's called Peeping Tom. Nobody saw that movie. It like ruined the career of the director who made it, but everybody saw Jaws. So I thought that was kind of cool that obviously in this movie, the shark's the killer. So you get that POV of the shark, which is different and new, and that everybody ripped off all throughout the 80s. And then I just, when you guys were talking about old movies and going back, and I never thought about it this way. you know, sometimes when you watch these, it's like movie problems. It's like, oh no, you know, Chief Brody wants to close the beach, but the mayor wants to keep it open. Oh no, movie problem. But then if you think about it, that's actually a big problem. Like, it's 1975. There's no internet. There's very few movies. And there's like nothing to do. Like, you hear the guy listening to the baseball game on the radio at the beach. And then you think, like, if the beaches are closed, this town really is fucked. So that tension is way more, I guess, profound than I originally gave it credit for. It's like, yeah, if the beaches are closed, everyone's going home. There's nothing to do. So that jumped out to me this time. And then, like, everything you guys said. The characters are so good. I love that Beyond the Shark, we just get these three dudes on a boat, just like singing and acting and just dudes being dudes. And they're going to go fight and kill this shark. And it's, I don't know, Spielberg's movies are always about more than the monsters and stuff going on. I love this movie. So good.
Yeah, our main three characters, right? Yeah. That we get. Whoa. What was that?
No, that's what you sounded like. You sounded like a pirate. It was awesome. I thought you were doing it on purpose, so I was like,
my three characters that are my favorite. I love Brody and Quint, and who's the Dreyfus guy again? That's cool. Because Dreyfus is the guy from the Oceanic Institute, and again, it's just another thing. It just kind of takes me back to, oh god, I just love Cape Cod. I love that whole area because you see a sign of it too, like when one of the ferries comes in, it says like something to like Woods Hole, and Woods Hole is where the Mass U has like a big oceanographic institute there, and I don't know, we went down there when we visited a couple years ago, so it was great. That's another reason though too why I'm glad that I bounce back and forth whether I wanted to watch this with my 7-year-old or not. And outside of like the blood scenes, it's like I can't let him watch a movie when he wants to be an oceanographer. And he's gonna have a giant shark barreling down on him. But
You know, maybe at 12 years old, because Dreyfus's character said he got stuck in a boat and then the shark jumped in and then ate all of the things in the boat and he had to swim to shore, and that's when he knew he needed to be
right. That was the inspiration.
An oceanographer. Yeah, exactly. So who knows? Maybe it could have the reverse effect. But I guess watching a movie about it in horror or living in the water might be a little bit different on that.
Horror. So how much horror is this, Jamie? Because I never really thought about this movie as being like a horror movie. But then I was watching it again. I was like, yeah, obviously, and from like the time. But how much?
It's one of those weird ones. It's like, it's almost grandfathered in. Cause I don't think of it. I guess it's like horror is what's scary to you. And, cause the opening scene with Chrissy, whatever her name is, that's terrifying. She's all by herself. She doesn't know what's biting her and she almost gets away. She almost climbs up on that buoy, but then it takes her down and, you know, game on. So, and I think like, just hearing anecdotally, like from my parents, like this scared the crap out of people. People were terrified to go into the ocean after seeing this movie. So I think when a movie has that big of like a social response, I think maybe then something that might otherwise be a monster movie has more horror credibility, if that makes any sense. I don't know. What do you guys think?
For sure. I agree with you, Jamie, on that. I think that, it's funny when you mentioned the beginning, like, sure, I feel like that's the iconic scene that you do recognize, but there was like the three different other times where like I actively, and like, again, I don't think I necessarily consider it a horror movie as much as like an action adventure movie, but there is those three scenes where you just all of a sudden the shark in the background near Chief Brody, like there was two different, like, I think there was the first time we actually see the face where like, I was like, oh my God. So I jumped at that. And then the head coming out of the boat at Richard Dreyfuss, jumped at that. And then, at the end, again, when you see like the full like face of the shark. And then after that, it's like, they're like, hey, we just showed the monster full on. And that's when you start seeing like the last 20 minutes of the film, like they're showing all of the scenes of Jaws, like coming out of the water, in the water, all the things, like they bury the lead. But that, but the horror aspect of not knowing, and like it just that fear of like, oh, kid, don't go in the water. And this is one of those movies also where they didn't show it, thank God, but like John Wick would have killed this shark in the first scene because it killed his dog. Like, and so that's always a scary situation for me. I don't know. So it does flirt with that idea. I think it is definitely more an action adventure for me, but there is definitely like very, and not scary, but jarring or startling scenes in this. And they got me because, again, I'm not as seasoned with this movie, or I hadn't seen it a lot. So I know things are going to happen, but I didn't know when. So it definitely got me. So I can't imagine in the theater, like, how loud those screams were. Actually, I think they talked about that with the scene when they said, when he backs up and he's like, we're going to need a bigger boat. Like I think Spielberg said that, like, they had that scene. They cut it where that line came up too quickly because the audience was not ready yet. Like, they missed the funny part. And so, like, they had to extend it by, you know, him backing up slowly and slowly and slowly and slowly to give audience time to like get their wits about them again, and then laugh about that line, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, that part's really good. It's iconic, classic.
And also that line was made up, or was whatever, ad-libbed,
right?
Which, yeah, awesome.
Best line. Scheider just dropping bars. Well, and I think to your guys' question of like what makes this, is it horror or not, it's the fact too that, you know, the shark is smart. It's swimming under the boat, and, you know, Quint's calling it out as he's firing the gun with the barrels into it, like, it's a smart shark, it's going under the boat or whatever, you know. And they actually do this. Like, that's what's crazy is, you know, not all fish mammals of the sea do this, but the ones that do are like legendary. Like, there's the do you guys know about the Essex, the ship that was sunk by the sperm whale?
No.
It's the inspiration for Moby Dick, and it was that movie In the Heart of the Sea that came out with Chris Hemsworth.
Oh yeah,
a couple years back. I read the book, it's amazing, but same thing. It's like this whale just loses its mind and attacks this boat for no reason. Like, they don't know why. Maybe because they're trying to kill it, who knows. But I think that's what's scary too, is these things are actually out there. And if you catch them on the wrong day or whatever, like, swim fast or good luck.
Dude, that's what I feel about whenever I go, like, whenever I'm like out of the country and we're snorkeling, scuba diving, whatever. I don't know what any of this stuff in the ocean is, like, where I selfishly choose to swim behind somebody, like one of my friends that I think knows more about, like, that is an active fisherman or knows more about what's down there than I am. Like, I remember one time, I think we were in Costa Rica, like, and we were swimming by a coral reef or something. And then he was getting close to something. I was behind him and it was a bigger fish. And once we got back up for air or whatnot, and I was like, dang, that thing was huge. It looked scary. Like, what was that? And he's like, oh, that was a barracuda. And I'm like, do they have teeth, oh, right? Shit. He's like, oh yeah, they have teeth. And I'm like,
yeah,
what were we doing so close? Everything else looked like Finding Nemo in the bright colors. It was amazing. And then
like there a was giant this silver fish.
Yeah, there was this fish that looked a little bit scarier than the other fish. And I'm giant like, oh, what's eye. This thing? Oh my gosh.
It's the same experience. Yeah. I am. my wife and I were snorkeling in Puerto Rico, off like the tiny island of Vieques there. And for one, we got split out. The current like pulled her out. Like, I thought she was dead and I was going to end up on a Dateline NBC show and like being accused of murdering my wife. But no, when I was just like snorkeling and looking down, all of a sudden, like, there's all these fish, like you said, James, like Finding Nemo. And all of a sudden, like, everything split across and I looked over and there was like this giant fish. And I was like, I didn't know what it was. I had to look it up. And I was like, oh my God. And it has like razor teeth. And I was like, this big eye looking at me. And I like, I don't know. It like startled me. And then it like shot off and I don't know where it went. And I was like, oh my God, what was that? I was like, was that like a shark? It could have been a shark, but yeah, it was an effing barracuda, man.
Ooh, barracuda.
Barracuda.
Did you guys look at the link I showed you for Anthony Jeselnik's shark party?
No, I'll have to watch that.
I don't know if you'd seen his stand-up where he talks about this, but it's just basically like on his show, and I think it's the reason the show got canceled is there was a shark attack by a great white shark in New Zealand, and a guy got killed by a shark. And so Anthony Jeselnik on his show on Comedy Central decides to celebrate this because and like ends the clip like where like they're dancing, like he's got you know, not a stripper, but basically he gets a lap dance and one of his dancers dressed in a shark costume. Like it's like, and he's just like all excited about this because he's like, sharks have been around for, you know, millions of years. And like, all they do is, you know, eat things and swim. And he, like, and so we killed, like at the end of it, he shows the statistic of like that year it was filmed. He's like, so he's like, humans killed by sharks, one. Sharks killed by humans, 17 million like this year so far. And like, he's just like, yeah, they, go get it. This is one for the sharks. Like, and it's just, I don't know. It's funny, but super distasteful, but kind of awesome. So I don't know. It's worth a look.
I watched it, James. He's dark, man. Like, you got to be in a special place to hang with Jeselnik.
Oh, for sure. One thing also I noticed about this movie, and I remember very distinctly, I forgot about it until I started watching it again, but this is one of those movies where it is referred to in other movies for so long. I mean, I remember like watching this going, oh my gosh, that's what this is from. So like, I'm like, when they were doing like the men go into cage go into water, sharks in the water, like I think of the movie Clerks. Cause like, he's like, salsa shark, we're going to need a bigger boat. And like, I didn't correlate what that was. Cause I'd never seen Jaws, before I saw Clerks. And then same thing again, I guess this is another Kevin Smith reference, but, when they're talking about all their injuries, like, oh, I got that beat. I got bit by an eel and here's the scar. And they're showing all their injuries and laughing about it. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is from Chasing Amy, or vice versa. That's what Chasing Amy was doing when they were talking about all the injuries they received during sex. Like where they're like, oh, I can't move my neck back this far because this is what was happening with Ashley, blah, blah, blah. And like, and then like her dad came home, he whipped my head way back and now I can't do this. Like, and it's just like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, so I thought those scenes were funny when Kevin Smith was like parodying them, and then like to go be like, oh, these, it's even more funny, or it's even more amazing now that it came from this. And I should have known, because all Kevin Smith does is reference things he loves, such as Star Wars and now apparently Spielberg movies. So but I just thought, like, I just love that there's lots of things in this movie, because the movie was made in, you know, 75. So many people had seen this. I, by the 90s, I should have seen this, but in other films in the 90s or even now, they're quoting or parodying the, like something that happened in Jaws. Even Ace Ventura, when like Ace is getting like whipped around back and forth in that giant fish tank. Like that's obviously the opening sequence to Jaws.
Right.
So, and, but I didn't know that. It's just hilarious to me. So
that's funny. I didn't think about that. What an influence. All right. Let's wrap it up. I know Jamie's got to go. We all got to work. But so, quick review, recap. I thought this was aged well. I enjoyed it. That was awesome. It exceeded my expectations for going back and watching a movie from 75. How about you guys?
Yeah, agree. 5 out of 5 stars. It's probably one of the few movies from the 70s you can watch, and it'll keep your full attention from start to finish.
I couldn't agree more. I looked up like what the runtime was, because I was just thinking like, I wonder if this is like a 2.5 hour movie. And I think my initial thought was just like you guys, like I'm like, oh man, 70s movie for 2.5 hours. Even though I'd seen it before, I remember I liked it. But after this viewing, yeah, this is like an essential viewing in my opinion. Like it's so good. And also being one of Spielberg's first, like just super, super impressive. And Spielberg initially wasn't even the director for the movie. I guess they had somebody else sign on. And when they suggested what the opening sequence was going to be to the studio, like his opening sequence was like, you're in the water. And then when you pull up, you're going to see the face of the whale. And like the studio was like, you don't even know the difference between a shark and a whale. We're going to go with somebody else.
Oh my God.
So go Spielberg.
All right. Thank you. This concludes this week's episode of Movie Time Machine. Thank you for listening. If you care to share any of your thoughts or have any comments about the movie Jaws, go ahead and click that link in the pod description details, and you can share while you're there. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.